Welcome to Quietly Confident Introverts, the podcast that empowers introverted women leaders and entrepreneurs to overcome self-doubt and build confidence to thrive. Together, we'll explore your unique strengths, help you create a presence in the marketplace, and build profitable, impactful businesses. It's time for introverted women to rise, and it starts right here. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to the podcast that empowers introverted women in business and leadership to build confidence, harness their strengths, and achieve their ambitions. Today, we'll be discussing why becoming a conscious and emotionally intelligent leader is vital to success. And it's exciting times today because we're welcoming Dr. Ron Stocks, who refers to himself as your transformational guide. He's a visionary in the realm of conscious leadership, known for helping you develop what his clients call the big mind. I really like that description. Dr. Stocks is here to ignite our minds, to lead our lives better, and influence others positively and effectively. Prepare to be inspired and equipped with knowledge that propels you towards becoming a more courageous and conscious introverted leader. Don't miss out on this transformative conversation. So right now, I'm going to bring on my guest and we'll have a fantastic time. Welcome, Dr. Stocks.
Hi, thank you, Patience, for having me.
So would you like me to call you Ron or to call you Dr. Stocks? What would you prefer?
Oh, Ron is fine, thanks.
Okay, that's great. So I looked at your story and your website, and I realized that you have a very varied journey. I found it so interesting. And at each stage of your journey, you've learned something new, which has shaped you and who you are today and why you do what you do. But I would like you to tell us more about that and how that has come about, and tell us your story briefly.
Okay, well, it's a long, brief story. So, yeah, I think in terms of leadership, I'll kind of just focus on that. You know, as I was growing up, I think probably back in the 80s, I was executive vice president of an inner game corporation, and we were hired to help AT&T go through divestiture, which was going from being a monopoly to being five for-profit companies. The government had asked them to break that monopoly up. And so my job was basically to travel around the United States to all and work with all the different managers and on up to the top three executives and help them understand how to change their mindset from, you know, being in a monopoly, which everybody kind of stayed in their own lane and didn't think outside the box and really didn't share ideas because it only got them in trouble, to being in a for-profit organization where people had to think out of the box. They had to contribute. They had to really bring their best to the job. And it was a frustrating process. It went really well, but when it finally came down to really implementing it, they watered it down so much that I sort of just lost interest in, you know, so that was kind of my first really leadership awareness. I'd worked with some pretty high level leaders, entrepreneur style leaders, and, you know, they might own an international or national hotel chain or whatever. But in terms of that high level organization, that was the first. And what I saw was that both individual leaders and organizations, they had the tendency to kind of reach a particular level of success and then find themselves struggling, find themselves limited, find themselves not having the level of success and enjoyment that they had before. And what I noticed across the board, whether they were a spiritual teacher, in politics and business, whatever they were in, these high-level leaders were really just running up against their own inner limitations. And it was easy for me to see as a psychologist that, boy, if they would just look at this issue or that challenge that they had when they were younger or how this is playing out in their life, they'd be able to move they'd actually be able to use that challenge by healing it and accessing the parts of themselves that they needed to continue to grow. And that's really what motivated me to focus on the leadership. But I also, what really has taken me to where I am now is recognizing that the highest level leaders and the more conscious leaders really can have the most significant lasting change on both an organization and on a societal level. And that's where I really, my interest of creating a more conscious and caring world came into play, because it's like, okay, as my publisher pointed out to me at some point, I have the capability of taking people into high states of consciousness. That's probably from back in spiritual teacher days, but it really became just, you know, I have such a deep understanding of how the mind works and what transformation looks like and how to take people into those higher levels of consciousness. It's like, well, how do we apply that to leadership? And that really became my focus, and certainly is my full-time and ongoing, you know, position, is if I can create enough conscious leaders, then we can create that more conscious and caring world. So that's where I am today. intentions to retire, just continue on the journey.
Yeah. I mean, if you're enjoying what you do, why retire, right? I mean, retirement is all about giving up on things and finding an alternative. But if you're already doing what you love, why give it up? So I think that is fantastic that your knowledge and your skills are still there to be tapped into as well.
So really, it's a privilege to be part of that transformational journey that others are on, and to bring them up into that level where they're having such a positive effect on themselves, on their own life, but on others also. So it's a treat. It's good.
Great, great. And what I like is you mentioned some interesting facts here, and I just want to amplify it in terms of, you talked about leadership challenges, so success and struggles, you know, is interesting when you talk about success, but also struggles, and having that requirement to have that healing to be able to then operate at a higher level, which is an interesting thing that many people feel like those that get to the top are getting to the top because they have stopped struggling, or they don't have anything that they need to heal anymore. And we find that when people are not healed, whether at the lower level or higher level, they say hurting people hurt people. So that's where bad leadership then comes in.
Most definitely. Yeah.
So this is valuable work. And, you know, yourself being a psychologist and having that ability to help people tune into their inner self, being an introvert myself, I think we tune in a lot, but we can tune in a lot and just ruminate about the pain as opposed to allow that healing to happen. So I guess in 2022, I made a trip to France as part of the Maxwell leadership team, and I was there to support them certifying new coaches. And the president of the Maxwell leadership team, he stood up and he said, things are changing. And because they are changing, I find that this year has been difficult for me. So I needed to go away because and find myself again, because I realized that as things were getting bigger, I was bigger on the outside than I am on the inside. Yeah. And therefore, things were not aligned. And you used that keyword, and results were coming with struggle. And he wanted to change that. So I want you to emphasize on why it's important to be conscious to be conscious of leadership capability and capacity. You know, it's kind of like, that's what he was saying. I don't have the capacity. I'm being honest. I'm putting my hands up. Yeah. But that's because I'm feeling this littleness on the inside, but everything around me is bigger on the outside. So why is it important to be conscious of leadership capability and capacity?
Well, I think, you know, the biggest problem I see with leadership and leaders having today is that they're looking outside of themselves for answers and solutions that can only be found within. So this fellow you're speaking of is very insightfully saying, wow, I'm recognizing when I look within, I'm not capable of doing what I wish to, you know, with my life and with others. And that really is the art, because you become certain level of self-awareness, a certain level of self-acceptance, a certain level of, you know, emotional intelligence, and that gets you by. You know, a lot of people that go into leadership are very, very intellectually intelligent, but and that gets them into the right schools, that gets them into the right jobs, all of that. But then, especially nowadays, you find that IQ isn't enough. That you have to really develop EQ, emotional intelligence, if you will. And emotional intelligence is really, in a nutshell, is really greater self-awareness. Mm-hmm. You have to look back into your childhood more deeply. You have to look back at what hasn't been looked at, what hasn't been healed, what hasn't been nurtured and reintegrated into who I'm becoming. Because if you're leaving parts of yourself behind, which we all do initially, you know, when we come into the world, we're looking for love. That's, you know, ask anywhere around the world, I've asked this question, what does a child want more than anything else? And the answer is always unconditional love, and that we'll do anything to get it. Everybody recognizes that. So if you recognize that, then the question is, well, what did you do to get that love? Because, you know, you became who you needed to be to get acceptance and love. You learned to express the emotions and to hide the emotions that optimize the amount of love you could get. You really molded yourself in relationship to that mm-hmm. higher intention, that program for getting love, if you will. And so in that process, you know, a lot of things come up in our life that we say don't know how to emotionally handle, or we feel aren't acceptable to others, and we bury those parts within our gut, within ourself. And that works for a while. That works through our enculturation period, our growing up period. But as an adult, you, especially if you're asking more of yourself, you need more of yourself. So you need to go back and really heal and re-access all of those parts that you left behind. Because in truth, those parts that you stuffed away are often some of the most valuable, unique, and wonderful parts of yourself. So I help people really go on that inner journey, that hero's journey, as my mentor Joseph Campbell shared. And that inner journey is a journey into, you know, that cave within that we fear to go into. And within that cave is where we find ourselves. We find that unconditional love and recognize, oh, I'm the only one that can give that to me.
Wow, that's really powerful. I wrote here, asking more of yourself and then needing more of yourself. And I think that's exactly why, from the story I told, he had to go away. Right. He needed to find more of himself. And it's interesting when you talk about the healing, the nurturing, reintegration, and perhaps a time in life where there was some innocence and there was some, you know, there was some understanding of what unconditional love is. And we lose that on the pathway through climbing the ladder of success and being knocked down by failures, by challenges. You know, we can have that. What I'm finding more recently is having that guilt, shame about failures or about things that you haven't done properly, and all this accumulating to having a state of unforgiveness. And when you are not forgiving yourself for things as well, you are kind of like living in that space of being judged. So although you are in that space, how do you ask more of yourself and tap into more of yourself that is going to operate at that high level that you need? So you also mentioned IQ, which is interesting, isn't it? So you have IQ. In my line of work, I've had to do work on how people build their skills, but then you have the how people develop their emotions, and also then you have what we call positive intelligence, PQ. So you have EQ, IQ, PQ, and all these things basically, they could be head-centered, like you said, which is interesting. They're very intelligent people. They get up there. But so in essence, how do people who are stepping up into leadership, very intelligent, so they might have that IQ nailed down, they might have some elements of EQ nailed down, how do they elevate the EQ, which is the emotional intelligence, even more?
Well, I really do think that's the inner journey. That's the hero or heroine's journey that we all need to go on. And if we don't go on that, we really are just accumulation of who we needed to become to be accepted, as I was talking about earlier. It's really all of that emotional backlog that all from things that we didn't understand how to handle or didn't feel were acceptable. You know, as I shared, they get shoved into our gut. And so we need to open up that cave and explore really where we came from, who we are. And it's really learning, it's almost like reparenting yourself. It's reconnecting with yourself and really falling in love with yourself. Falling in love with all those different parts, finding your way to heal the emotional by acknowledging, expressing, and releasing those emotions. You begin to see what's really there, and you begin to accept that, and you begin to really love all aspects of yourself. And of course, you're not only becoming whole with each step of this, you're not only becoming more accepting, you're really learning to love yourself unconditionally. And that's what results in an emotionally intelligent, because they understand their own emotions, they have more compassion for others. They're more aware and sensitive to the needs of others and more supportive of themselves and others. They're kinder, all of those things. Oh. And that becomes an authentic leader. That becomes an emotionally intelligent leader. And that becomes a leader who can create, because people feel like they can talk with them, they trust them, they feel, you know, and they bring out the best in all of their people, and their employees and others they work with really feel like they're a valued part of an important team, that they're really, you know, want to really give their all to this organization. And in so doing, you get a much more cooperative, collaborative organization, which quite naturally, just as a person who is really much more integrated and complete and whole, that allows them to be more productive and create more income, if they will, or whatever their focus is on. Well, too, with an organization, as it becomes more collaborative and cooperative, it becomes a more integrated whole with a singular focus of, you know, supporting the world. I mean, they might make widgets and sell these little things, but they have more going on. They might be contributing. They might be concerned about the environment. They're contributing in some way that brings greater value to everyone involved, all the stakeholders and the general populace in general. So, yeah, very important.
I really like the compassion bit. And I think in the corporate space, using the word love can feel a bit like, oh yeah, that's too mushy, but that is what actually causes, from what you're saying, causes results to be achieved with less strain, because people are more collaborative when you come from a place of love. And basically what you're saying is emotional intelligence is operating from love. First of all, your self-acceptance and love allows you to integrate other people into that love, and that's why you can give and you can be compassionate. You can create psychological safety. And I guess, in a sense, we are talking a lot about organizations and things, but how about, I work a lot with solopreneurs, who need to probably have freelancers around them. And many times they don't always see the benefit of leadership Yeah, they don't always see the benefits of developing leadership skills. I always say that leadership skills are not discriminatory, so it's not gender focused. That is one thing that you can look at. It's not about gender. No. It's not about race. It's not about environment. Anywhere you are, leadership is important. And one of your clients mentioned, said he helps you find that big mind. So I say that leadership is three things: influence, elevated thinking, and service excellence. So for me, that's what I strive for. But I like the concept of the big mind. So can you expand more on living consciously and how that can help you evolve into that higher level leader? Into help us really tap into what your clients really experience when they are calling you the person that helps them get that big mind. So help us tap into that.
Well, just as healing your emotional background, healing that inner child allows you to become more whole and authentic, you know, so what begins to happen during that process is the mind gets quieter. Most people think the same thoughts every day over and over and over on a subconscious level, mm-hmm. and oftentimes a conscious level. So they have a noisy mind, and that noisy mind doesn't allow the full development of the brain. And so as you heal that emotional backlog, as you become more self-accepting and loving, you really, the mind quiets and you begin to have access to imagination, creativity, and intuition that you didn't have before. You start developing what I call integrated whole brain thinking, meaning the brain is not in conflict. The different aspects of the brain are working together as a team and using the unique qualities of the different areas of the brain to enhance each other and to bring out the best. And that's a level, as you begin to quiet the mind and that integration begins to unfold, the forebrain, which is supposed to be designed to be the conscious CEO of our life, begins to take over from the amygdala, which is a more fear-oriented center in the brain. The amygdala, you know, the ego, if the ego is running our life, then the amygdala is going to be triggered by fear, and we're going to lead a much more dramatic, reactive sort of life. As our mind quiets and we develop more trust in that conscious CEO forebrain, it just looks at life with a bigger picture. It looks at what's better for everybody, because what's better for everybody is really best for me too. You know, and just a side note, it's always important to recognize that your relationship with yourself is always reflected in your relationships with others. So that inner healing is always going to be reflected. If you have conflict with others, conflict in life, nothing more than an indicator that something within you is calling to be healed and is ready to be healed, so you can access the parts of yourself that can handle and not have to struggle with whatever that might be. So the great thing is the brain just continues to develop. So think of it as a receiver that, you know, it can pick up local channels and then it can pick up national. And then big mind is really even beyond international. It's really integrated whole brain thinking, taken 10x, if you will, mm-hmm. because it quite literally, if you're familiar with the different brain waves, for example, theta, delta, you know, alpha, all of those. Those you're accessing in different levels of maybe meditation or sleep or when you're efforting and trying. As you quiet the mind, you create, and this is science, you create literally a bridge that connects all of those different brain waves. So you're accessing not only the best of one brain wave, but the best of all those integrated brain waves. Yeah. And from that integrated place, you've learned to not try and figure something out. You just put out what you're looking for. For example, I've got a hobby. I create Japanese gardens. So one of my clients, a big CEO in San Francisco years ago, found out that I did this. And so he said, oh, I really need my, you know, to create a garden for my wife. And so he wanted $1 million Japanese garden. Well, I didn't have time for that. You know, it was like, you know, a huge project. And so what I did was I just sat in my, you know, in the woods behind my house and just put out, okay, I want to create this 1 acre Japanese garden. I want to do it, you know, for these folks, and I want to affect their life in a supportive way. And, you know, so I just sat in silence for the next hour with that intention being sent out. And I watched that garden being created. And it became, in my mind, one of the most beautiful gardens I'd ever seen. 3 months later, it was done, and it won international awards for design and technology, all of that. If I would have been doing drawings and all the back and forth and all the confusion of normal, you know, creation, it wouldn't have happened, first of all, but it wouldn't have been anywhere near that wonderful. You know, speaking with a client, I had worked with him off and on for the last few years, but it had been a while since I'd spoken with him, and he was so excited because he's very good at using this big mind concept where he just has a problem or a challenge and he puts it out there. And he's got 6 patents now and 6 additional patents underway. And he's not an engineer. He's just really a creative guy that needs things for his different projects and is able to access that information from that bigger perspective. So Big Mind gives the leader the essential ability to have agility, to come up with the best of what they can access in the most rapid, you know, accelerated way to deal with the rapid change and increased complexity of today's world. You can't go back and go, oh, well, what did we do 5 years ago? Or, gee, let's try this and try that. There's just not really an effective way to do leadership anymore. You have to be present. You have to be able to access your full abilities. And from that place, just trust that information coming through. And it, you know, it's something I use all the time in my work. I don't sit there and think, what should I do? What should I say next? What should I have them do? Or I'd never think of anything. I just sit there in the silence and watch it come through. And it's always the best of who and what I am that I'm accessing.
Wow. It's really just so powerful. We've got some brain science, we've got some, you know, going on there, which maybe might go over some people's heads, but the way you explain it is kind of like putting things together and bringing that integration of the mind. But one of the things that it then triggered for me to ask you is, with social media and so on, it says that the person that gets your attention, gets your retention, so to speak, you know, like in the marketing world and all that stuff. And the amount of noise that has amplified since maybe 2020 as a result of a lot of things going on online, it really, for me personally, I feel like you have to make extra effort to really quiet the mind. You have to make that extra. And the other element of it is where introverts tend to overthink sometimes, you know, instead of, like you said, having that quick answer. So we should be able to say, as an introvert, actually have an advantage of liking solitude and sitting down in a quiet place to use that solitude. But the problem is the mind is already so full by all the waves that are coming from social media and all the noise, that when you sit down, even quieting the mind can be a difficult thing. And you have a lot of diagnosis of ADHD and all that stuff now. So what would you say in terms of the impact that maybe the amount of noise has had on being able to have an integrated mind?
You know, a lot of us just presume that we have no control over our mind. You know, a lot of people think they are their mind, but they, you know, so whatever is going on up there, they even enjoy the chatter because it keeps them from having to look at things that they don't want to look at or feel. But the truth is, you know, the question is very simple. Stop thought. You know, and if you can't, If you literally, you know, when I suggest stop thought, and if you can't do it, then you're out of control. Mm-hmm. Your mind is in control of you rather than you in control of your mind. And the mind is just another tool. The mind is a receiver. So it's not, if it's a noisy receiver, it's not going to be able to hear very much. It's not going to really receive very much. You know, so you want to quiet the mind. And if you really understand how it works, all of that emotional that backlog that we stuff down there, all that noise that we have in our mind is created, you know, say a child has an emotional, some impact in their life, something happens that they don't know how to deal with. You'll find that that child quits breathing. And that shoves the stuff down in their gut, that puts them up in their head where they feel more safe and comfortable. And so what you start recognizing is all of our limitations come as a result of us stopping breathing. And so to heal that, to be able to access all of those parts, to really become whole and authentic again, to become a powerful conscious leader. Just a side note, conscious really, your level of consciousness is determined by how aware you are of your thoughts, how aware you are of your feelings, physical and emotional, how aware of what level of consciousness awareness that you're on. You know, so if your mind's just going a million miles an hour, you're not aware of your thoughts or your feelings at all. And so as you quiet your mind, you have to breathe into and heal that emotional backlog. You have to breathe into and give the mind something to focus on, which, you know, there's a lot of singular focuses that meditation uses, but the breath is always there. Every time you breathe, you're healing. Every time you breathe, you're letting go. Every time you breathe, you're becoming what's next. So it's really a journey of letting go and becoming. And the breath is sort of what allows you to continue to move forward into whatever's next for you. You know, it also is pumping, literally, physically pumping blood through the brain. It is allowing energy to come into the body. If you're not breathing, your whole system, physiological. I'm also a chiropractor, so it's really, you know, if you're not breathing, you're triggering your emotional systems to feel like there's something wrong. You're in fight or flight. And so all of a sudden, certain things shut down and certain things are accessed and overdone. And adrenaline and cortisol and that type of thing are just running through your body. And so it's important to learn to breathe. And as you learn to breathe, you can begin to give your mind something to focus on. You can breathe into whatever needs to be healed and begin to access aspects of yourself that you otherwise had forgotten about. And as you learn to breathe, you become more focused. And as you become more breathing and more focused, you become more aware. And in that awareness, you can begin to choose to live more mindfully. And from that more mindful, present, conscious, curious place, you begin to access better levels of thinking, more supportive levels of being, more, you become kinder to yourself. And that's really what being a great leader is. It's a person who is kind enough to themselves to be able to be kind to others and supportive of others. And so... Wow. Just that journey of self-discovery, self-becoming, and appreciating and really all of who and what you are and sharing that with the world. Yeah.
I like the fact that you talk about breathing and the benefit of it. And it's something that worth exploring. In 2020, when we had to go around with masks, I kind of... realize that once you start to struggle and holding your breath and all that stuff, the anxiety increases and things just are not working as they need to. That's what I found during that period. So I remember going about and creating, a talk, which I call Just Breathe, and the 7 steps to move from well-being to well-being. I created it during that period because I was somebody who had asthma, and during that period, I was regarded as vulnerable. So on top of that, wearing a mask was even, because already breathing can be a struggle. Then you now put on the mask. And I was like, breathing is life, really. You can't function, and the anxiety level. So I started to explore that, and that came out of that. So this is very important point that you've made. Basically, being on this show, obviously, you know that we're talking about quietly confident introvert. So there's benefit in an introvert being quiet, but also making sure that their mind is quiet. It's not just being quiet and everything is there. So what would you say in terms of introvert and extrovert? Is there any impact in terms of those personalities on the capacity or capability to be a good leader or to be a conscious leader, whether you're extroverted or introverted? Does it really matter?
I think either one can certainly be a great leader, and they just are doing it in different styles, different ways, but it's where they're coming from. If that introversion is coming out of fear, mm-hmm. if that extroversion is coming out of fear and protection. I mean, there are certainly extroverts who kind of push themselves into the world, and that's really, to be honest with you, coming from a fear-based, not feeling accepted sort of place. But you know, you have introverts who are also, they don't feel like they're enough, and so they, you know, step back and withhold. And so the answer is always the same. Introvert, introvert, it doesn't really matter. We all have our different unique styles and different situations and different ways. It's us becoming a whole integrated, self-accepting and loving being that's going to allow that style to not only support ourselves but others in the world, to create that more conscious and caring world that we need to create. If we don't create a more conscious and caring world now, we're in trouble.
Yeah,
we're not taking care of the world, we're not taking care of ourselves, we're not taking care of others, and it's a big mess, and it's time to take action and not just I'm afraid to look inside. It's like, no, be afraid not to look inside.
Yes.
Like, people don't want to breathe because they'll have to look at different feelings and things. No, be afraid not to breathe. It's time to breathe. It's time to learn to accept and love yourself. It's time to really become that whole person who can contribute to the world in an empowered way. Empowers yourself, but others.
And I think that's the key. It's not personality. Leadership is not discriminatory, so it's not about personality, but also it's about whichever personality you are, operating from a place of fear will allow you to exhibit the negative side of that personality, so to speak, the introvert shrinking back and the extrovert pushing forward over and above everybody else or something like that. So I think those are useful ways to look at it, to help people to say, I can be a leader, whoever I am. I just have to make sure that I have that big mind, that integration, and not deal with things from a place of fear. If I come from a place of love, it can make all the difference. And you put in a keyword there, which is action. So, and I like that. So can you help our audience as we come to the end of this fantastic, I've taken so many notes. I wish I was the listener rather than the interviewer, which is great, but I'm going to listen to it again, which is great. I can create a show where I can want to listen to it and listen alongside my audience. But it would be useful to live with three or five. If you have five, that would be great. If you have three, that is, so to share tips, because we need to be action oriented and take away things that we can start to do to start tapping into that big mind.
Well, think in terms of, most people feel like they're not living up to their full potential, and that kind of leads to feeling like they're not enough. And ironically, they're not enough, but the truth is they're not accessing enough of who and what they truly are. And so all of what we've been talking about is really the journey, that inner journey that's so critical to accessing all of who and what we truly are. because in that process, you learn to breathe. You have to learn to breathe to even connect with yourself and others in the world. And in that breath, you begin to release and heal everything. You begin to access all of who and what you are. So breathing is critical. Healing that past, if you're dragging that past along with you, then you're not going to be a self-aware and emotionally intelligent human being who can take care of themselves and others. So breathing, healing the past, beginning to recognize, and I find by the time people finish my first two-month program, my goal is to have them recognize what's your highest intention, what's your greatest aspiration. And when I say greatest aspiration, I'm going, what is it that you really want to reach for? What is it you need to breathe into, if you will? Because that gives them something outside of themselves. You know, the initial work is focusing in here and on yourself, but then it begins to translate more in a broader sense outside yourself, if you will. And then, so it's, what is that aspiration? And that becomes your compass heading in life. That becomes your purpose. That becomes your focus, so that you're doing things for something bigger than yourself, because that'll allow you to go through things that you otherwise might not be willing or comfortable going through. So breathing, healing, know what your higher intention is, your greatest aspiration. And then ask yourself a simple question. What level do I want to play on? You know, what level in terms of, you know, empowerment and being empowered, connecting with myself and the world. Do I want to make a difference in the world? Do I want to just get by? You know, it's okay. Either one's okay. But know what level you want to play on. You know, people don't often know that, but there's different levels of leadership. And they are really quite literally just leaders who have evolved, become more self-aware, more conscious in the Those are the highest level of the leader, like the synergist or the alchemist is the highest level. But most people kind of resolve themselves to stay in mid-level leadership, the expert or achiever, for example. And that's like 70% of people. They don't go any further than that. But then you can go into the more cooperative and more collaborative leadership. You can go into those higher levels. And they're referred to as post-conventional because they aren't the old ego top-down, you know, leadership style. And that allows you that. So what level do you want to play on? What level of leadership do you want to be on? And leadership not only of others, but of yourself. How do you want to lead yourself into life? You know, and once you recognize that, the question is, well, who do you need to become to live on that level, to create that level of life? And embrace, be excited about that. Not like, oh my God, I've got to do all that. You know, when you heal the past, you create a foundation to build your life on. And then it's like, okay, well, what life do I want to create? Who do I need to become to create that life? And you have a sense of direction. You have a sense of purpose. You have a sense of meaning. It's like, okay, well, what do I need to do next to achieve that, to get that? And So breathe, quiet your mind, get present, get curious, learn to love and accept yourself so that you can begin to more consciously respond and be responsible to everything that comes into your life, and so that you can play on the level that you're capable rather than half-heartedly and feel like you're not enough.
Those are powerful lessons, you know, those are powerful takeaways and actions. And just for the audience, so that if you're taking notes, you're like, he said quite a few things. I was distilling them. Breathe, heal the past, recognize what's your greatest aspiration. What level do you want to play at? And then there were a couple of things around get curious and take responsibility. So if you're taking notes, those five key things you need to start doing to be more of a conscious and emotional intelligent leader who can tap into the vital success that you need in your life. And one key thing that you said that really struck with me is playing at a level that you're capable of. playing at the level that you're capable of. So I really just want to thank you, Ron, for coming today to help create this very powerful show that I know that is kind of, when we talk about legacy, this is going to be, you know, you're leaving a legacy, capturing this, and a lot of people will be able to take notes. So thank you for sharing your wisdom with us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and I hope everybody enjoyed it. And fall in love with yourself. Live your life fully.
Yes, definitely. And also, you will find in the show notes, we will have links to connect with Dr. Stutz, and you can then go ahead and access his resources, follow him on all the social media wherever he is, with the links that we've put in there, his website, his own YouTube channel as well. You want to be learning more and more, and if you're going to be taking effective actions on all these five things, you want to be able to access the resources that he has. But I also, as usual on this show, we like to end with a quote. So I picked up one of his as well, and I want to share it with you. And he says, "You can't create a 9 or 10 figure business with a 5 or 6 figure level of consciousness. You have to evolve and grow as a conscious leader, both inwardly and outwardly, to see the bigger picture." And I hope that that inspires you to go ahead and dig deeper and create that big mind, that integrated mind. So thank you again, Dr. Stutz. It's nice to have you here.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
And thank you for listening. So I'm so glad that you have joined me today for this rich conversation. If you're really ready to unlock the power of your introvert strengths, cultivate confidence, and embrace courageous leadership to propel your career or business forward, I'm here to guide you. Reach out and let's create your success pathway together. Thank you so much for listening to us today, and join on the next episode. God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Quietly Confident Introverts. If you found today's discussion valuable, please subscribe, rate, review, and share the podcast with others. You can also connect with me, Patience Ogunbono, at The Visionary Introverted Woman. Until next time, stay confidently introverted.